B-Pod Studios.
It's time for another edition of Caring and Sharing with retired child psychologist Dr. Murray Kleiner. We head to Laguna Beach, California, where the good doctor is standing by, ready to take your emails. Good afternoon, Dr. Kleiner.
Yeah.
You know, with this day and age of the internet and being able to look up information on just about anybody.
Fascinating, isn't it?
It is. I found some information on you.
Well, it's all readily available.
Yes, and, yes, it is.
You know, most of it is available, from the state of California in PDF documents.
Not necessarily from what I learned about you, not necessarily from the state of California. Dr. Murray Kleiner, born July 17th, 1929, son of Saul and Ida Kleinberg of Long Island, New York. Got your PhD, did you?
That's not true.
You got your PhD at Yeshiva University in Manhattan, New York.
Not true.
Graduated in 1952 with a PhD in child psychology. Tell me about your mom, Ida. Was she a lovely woman?
She was a saint of a woman. Very heavily involved in our local Catholic church.
Catholic church.
But as far as my education, it's odd that you bring that up because I was going to discuss that today.
Uh-huh.
I attended Lewis and Clark in Oregon.
You know you didn't. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. And Lewis and Clark may be familiar to you because at one time...
I cannot, Dr. Kleiner, off the top of my head.
Well, maybe I could give you a hint or two.
Okay.
Oval Office cigar. Some now call it the Oral Office.
Bill Clinton? Bill Clinton?
Fat, chubby.
Monica Lewinsky?
Little Jewish girl.
Yeah, Monica Lewinsky.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
But more recently, I'm trying to be pleasant here.
Yeah, sure. You're
doing a good job.
More recently, I guess it doesn't matter.
Not really, because I know where you're from. Dr. Kleiner.
Recently.
Yeah.
Lewis and Clark, if you got the Google, then you can look this up. It's actually a fascinating story with implications for institutions of higher learning around the country. There was a major case involving sexual hijinks and shenanigans that it's been going on now for about a year. Just hit the national press just now picking up on
what is it.
But there were two, I believe they were both 19. And the boy involved, his name was Morgan. I'm not going to use his last name.
Right.
But he was what they call these days a player.
Ah.
And he was well known as a coxman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there was a 19-year-old naive girl who was drawn to his magnetism. As a matter of fact, one of his nicknames, he called himself Morgasm. His name's Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
And she had turned him down because he was constantly demanding oral sex, which Lewis and Clark is famous for. And she said that she was a virgin and didn't intend to satisfy him in that way, yet she was drawn to him like a moth to a flame.
Mm-hmm.
And she was drinking wine with some of her girlfriends at the Women's Center, spelled with a Y, by the way. Women.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. What's your point here,
Doctor? So she was high on wine.
Right, high on wine.
And it was late at night, and it was right the day before everybody went on break. And so she texts Morgasm and says, you know, what are your plans for the break? And he, of course, didn't answer that. He says, why don't you come to my room right now? And he had partitioned his dorm room and had a mattress on the floor. She goes over there of her own free will. Are you hearing me?
I'm trying to. We got letters.
They're both drunk. And Morgan uses his charms, gets her naked, and she does this of her own free will.
Okay, yeah.
She begins to perform on him.
Yeah.
Then changes her mind, according to her, and the only signal she gives Morgasm is she shoves him in the stomach, and all he says is, oh, yeah, baby, that's how I like it. And the only reason that this stopped is he goes to the bathroom to vomit because he's had too much to drink. Then they start a Facebook group because she goes whining to her women with a Y, women friends. They post it on Facebook and accuse him of being a rapist.
Oh, my goodness.
Ugh. Destroyed his life.
Right.
And he's the bad guy.
Right.
And I've been asked to investigate this, and I can tell you without knowing the facts that he's innocent.
I thought no means no.
Well, what does that mean? What do you tell me? What does that mean?
Dear Dr. Kleiner, this...
What does... What?
Are you... You know what? You're
what does
here,
that mean?
You're here for a reason. Start acting like it. Dr. Kleiner, this is from Brady. He's 34. And he writes to you, Dear Dr. Kleiner, I'm at a point...
If you're a 34-year-old man and you're writing me, you've already lost.
Yeah. Dear Dr. Kleiner, I'm at a point in my life now where I'm in my mid-30s, and I really don't see the point in dating someone if I can't see myself marrying them.
What?
I've been in a relationship with this really great woman for just about a year now, and neither one of us has told the other, I love you. To be honest, I'm not even sure that I am in love with her, but I still think she's a really great person. Is it strange to be in a relationship, Dr. Kleiner, with someone for this length of time and not say, I love you? Is this a sign that our relationship isn't going anywhere? Should I break up with my girlfriend? Signed, Brady, he's 34.
Good Lord.
This guy's looking for advice.
Okay, Brady Quinn.
It's just Brady. No last names here, Doctor.
I would suggest, yeah, you are so, you're 34 years old, you ought to know better. So I would suggest, yes, break up with a living, breathing female. Just break up with her. Go ahead, be your own best friend. Bob your own baloney. Bounce the bunny. Box the one-eyed clown.
Just say, you know, with such anger.
Call for more mayo. Charm the cobra. Cheat on your other hand for a change. Clear your snorkel.
Okay, thank you. Very quickly, Doctor, one more here.
Play closet frisbee.
We're very short on time. Jason writes in. He's 24. He said, Dr. Kleiner, I just started dating this really great girl. And the other night, we went back to my place and
played foreplay with this Fina.
And fooled around a little bit. We were having a good time messing around and making out. Then randomly, she started biting me.
What?
Yeah. It wasn't hard enough to actually hurt or anything, but the more she did it, the sexier it got. No one has ever done this to me before, Dr. Kleiner, biting me. Is this a sign that this girl could be into some kind of kinky stuff?
Oh, you think?
Is it strange that she likes to bite? Signed, Jason, he's 24, doctor. Biting.
24 and old enough to know better. Yes. How's that? Yes. Yes. Yes.
What?
Yeah, I shouldn't have said that.
A lot of anger.
Yeah, I know, the anger spilling out of you.
He lets this... I'm sorry. This woman... bite him?
What? Yes.
And he's turned on by it.
Yeah.
That's some dirty work at the crossroads right there, fella.
Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with just standing... buzzing the Brillo. Are you bored with that? Is she bored with that?
She might be bored. He's just saying, hey, it kind of turns him on.
It does turn him on, he's saying.
Yes, he says that.
What's wrong with
He wants to know if she's into more kinky stuff.
What's wrong with just stretching the leather? You know, just a quick oil change. Uh-huh. I don't understand the world that I'm living in. Do the Irish twist. Just what? Shake the sheets. How about a simple squeeze and a squirt? Just a nice dose of vitamin S.
Thank you, Dr. Murray Kleinberg. For
you sound like a real flesh fly.
Okay. For your insight, eating up all of our valuable time, not for the listener.
A rambling story.
But for a rambling story about how you're investigating, you've been brought into a case. We'll talk to you next week and be more prepared, Dr. Kleinberg.
Would you like some cheese to go with that wine?
Goodbye.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show it so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. They'll fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws ties and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it all afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
place in Southwest Florida where drunken idiots and law enforcement actually get along. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thursday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. And so I got home last night, and it dawned on me, since last week, you've been asking me for that wedding champagne.
It's so good.
So I turned to my wife and I said, I keep forgetting it. Put the bottle right on my computer desk so that when I leave to go to work today, I can bring Haney some of that California champagne that we had in Vegas.
It's such a shame that it's reasonably priced. It tastes so good.
Yeah. So I got you some champagne.
What makes it expensive is having it shipped. I think they got a great product.
It costs more to ship it.
Mm-hmm.
And look.
Who picked that out? Was it the venue or did you pick that out?
I think... bottom line of the green light or no green light was my wife. But I think they might have offered a certain ones, and she wasn't familiar.
Well,
she said, let's go with this one.
Picked it right out of the park.
Yeah, so there you go. You got some champagne. Make sure you chill that. We should chill it in here and drink it. But, oh, we tried doing that before, but we were threatened. Don't do it.
We should be allowed to have a glass of champagne every day.
How is it that if a woman goes to the beauty salon, can go in a place of business that is not licensed for anything, can go and enjoy a glass of wine, and we can't enjoy a little champagne in the afternoon?
Well, that's their world. You remember when we went through the phase that we'd hang out with rock stars after the show?
Yes.
And they'd have to get their hair dyed with the foil and all that.
Yes.
And it's the first time I'd ever been offered a beer at a barber shop.
Oh, that's all. It's a regular thing now. I don't know about at a bar. Look, where they went.
Where?
Was
well,
not,
well you
was,
were with me. What would that be called?
That was not a barber shop.
Was that a beauty parlor?
Yes.
Okay.
Men's stylist. You know.
It's a lot of work to be a rock star.
It's a lot of work.
Because your body doesn't naturally want to be a rock star.
No. But then you got
to A lot of blemishes and things that need to be touched up.
A lot of skin treatments.
Yep.
Hair frostings.
Yep.
With the foil and all that. And I'm saying...
like, oh my God.
What is this, a man?
Yep.
That's not a barber. Remember the barber we had? He was right down the street, and his son was like the apprentice barber.
Yeah, they were great.
Old chair. You'd go into his shop. This is not like going to a beauty parlor or a men's stylist with the blow dry and the... you would go into this place. It was just down the street. And you would go in, and the barber chairs were in there, and the old man would be in there snapping a towel. And those chairs came from, like, the 1930s. 1920s and 30s, the old barber chair. And he had two or three of them, if I can remember. This is a long time ago. Right down the street. And you would sit in there, and it was a barber. He had clippers. He had a pair of scissors. And a straight razor. And he would give you one hell of a haircut for a very reasonable price. And then, I don't know how many, if you remember when you were kids or something like that, the talcum powder on the brush, buff you, fluff it all up in the back there, and then splash on a little of that Club Man or Witch Hazel.
You know.
And give you that tingle after a neck shave.
It's irreplaceable. And it's funny that we're on this subject. Within the past year, my barber, from when I was a kid, teenager, right up to my early 20s, went to him all the time. And, you know, so it starts out with me as a little kid, my dad bringing me. My brother went there. And then my dad started taking, you know, my niece, my nephews on all the different ones. They all went to see this guy, and he finally passed away this past year.
Huh.
But he kept it just the same.
Yes.
And he's he's telling, you know, my nephews, who I don't see very much, and he's cutting my dad's hair in there. You know, I cut your uncle's hair, too. Yeah. I always knew he was going to be. I used to listen to him on WMMB, you know. And, he was really good.
A good barber does not forget a head. And here's the other.
But I'm thinking about
they would
that.
They would go to barber school, not cosmetology, you know.
Yeah.
Barber school. And then you hang that twirling deal outside.
You always like to point out how many years that is. Let's say I started going to him when I was, 10 years old.
All right, 1976.
It would have been a little more than
77.
That.
77.
Let's say 77.
All right, 77.
And he's still there doing the same thing, telling little kids about when he cut my hair.
Yeah, that's a long time.
There's something to be said
years.
For consistency.
Yep. But it's just, there is, and I've seen it, I don't know if it's still open, over at the Edison Mall, they have a barber shop, guy's place, and they do the chiseling of stuff in the head there, like for the kids today, but it's a regular barber shop. Great place. That's kind of like, I would say, a modern-day version of it. But just where you didn't get a style, you got a regular, you got a butch, you got a flat top. That's about it.
Well, this place was pretty modern, you know, when it opened in the 70s. Because they didn't call it a barber shop.
What'd they call it?
They still had, you know, the barber pole and all that out front spinning around.
Yeah.
But it was more sophisticated than that. It was called men's hairstyling.
Ah, see.
You know why?
Why?
Because they'd wash your hair in the sink sometimes.
Yeah, well, it was, and then those in the 70s, that was the mod time.
Yeah,
so
if you wanted the wet look or the dry look, they had you covered.
Because in the 70s, it was about the dry look, so it was more of a style. Because, I'm not joking, at that period of time, if you didn't kind of turn to that a little bit, you'd be out of business.
Yeah. And, you know, they had, like, I think their logo was like a piece of clip art of a guy getting his hair cut.
But we used to know
the guys.
You know,
just black and white.
Yep. Oh, yeah. We used to know the guys down there so well. His son, the apprentice, used to come into the studio and take care of us. And he was that good. Both him and Pa were that good.
Well, I mean, for crying out loud, you do something. I forget how many hours it is that it takes, but you do something long enough, you become expert by default.
Witch hazel, little buff of that little powder thing there for the back of the neck, little club man.
And what's impressive is when they reach the level of skill where you get all the amenities, but they do it so fast, it's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Zip, zip. You don't even know your neck's done. You don't even feel it. So sharp on that razor. Because he's got that leather strap there. He sharpens that baby up. There's living. What the? We'll take a break.
Thanks, pal. Yeah. Keep the change.
Yeah. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock. What?
We, the management of Beasley Media Group, would like to thank Stan and Haney for decades of dedication to this radio station. We would like to, but we won't. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Stan and Haney here, Thursday afternoon. We're going to give you a chance to win in about an hour. 4 o'clock safe word, our question of the week. We have the audio grab bag for you here in just a second.
I got a couple of questions for you.
All right, I think we have a barber on the phone. Hold on. Ahoy, who's this?
Hot damn 2020.
Hey,
this
hot damn.
Gary in Naples.
Hey, Gary, are you a barber?
I was. I went to a certain barber school on Ann Street in Hartford, 1968.
Oh, that's when they were putting out good barbers there at barber school.
Can I say that? I don't want to say the name of the place.
Well, it's probably long closed. 1968. I don't think they're holding you to it, Gare.
Well, that's Vaughn Barber School.
Oh, okay, Vaughn.
It was right off of Asylum.
I know where that is.
Yeah, we used to go to the Skillet for breakfast, go to Gennafrido's for dinner down the Italian restaurant. That was good.
In Hartford in the old days, all the power brokers used to go to a place called Scholar's.
That's right.
So, Gary, why, if you went to barber school, why'd you give up on it?
I moved to Florida, and I would have had to transfer my license, and I wound up getting another job.
All right. You still hold the license in Connecticut? You're still in good standing?
Yeah, but I ain't going back there, brother.
No.
No, I'll move to Maine before I go to Connecticut. Yeah.
So how difficult would it have been to get your Florida license? Would you have to start all over?
No, I would have just had to transfer it, and I would have to take a test. That's all.
Right.
So you didn't want her then?
Not really, because I wound up working at a hotel and been there ever since. But I'll tell you, you guys are right about a regular haircut.
Yeah.
Well, you had the regular, and then the butch, and then the flat top.
And it's much harder than the foo-foo haircuts of the 70s. Because, you know, you blow-dry the guy's hair, and the next day you see him, he doesn't look anything like he looked when he left the shop.
But he looked great when he left the shop.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. Put a little spray on it, got him all nice and everything. Yeah. Oh, man.
If not for the days of Vitalis.
Yep. Oh, and then they convince you, and then they convince you that whatever hair goop you can buy at the drugstore isn't as good as what they got there. You got to use their products only.
That's right, but the Clubman stuff was the best.
You darn right it was.
Powder.
Garrett, gotta run, buddy.
See you, brother.
All right, man. Right there, a barber. What, you had a question for me before we do the grab bag?
Because you've been to France, right?
Yes, I have.
I don't know this, I feel it.
Mm.
Are French people two-faced?
Yes.
Because I was looking at an article.
That's a broad sweeping brush I used right there. We were warned. Now, keep in mind, I went in the 80s. We were warned the general, you know, if you say you're going to go to New York into the city, you have a general idea of what the stereotypical New Yorker is.
Yeah, they're looking out their 8-story window as you're being mugged.
Right. And each city, when we were going over there in the 80s, I told you, and you said, be careful. Frenchmen don't want to help you. They're mean and they're rude.
Yep. Well, I just saw an article. You know, everybody is talking and worried about this coronavirus. And the French people, don't worry. You were just exposed to a guy that was from not that close to Wuhan, right? But he traveled from China and gave you a big hug. I'm not feeling that great myself.
No, yeah, I know.
But the French people, they have developed this image somehow that they are so much better than us and cosmopolitan. And
well, that
open...
goes all the way back to the 16, 1700s.
Yeah, and they're open-minded. You Americans wouldn't understand.
Yeah, very liberal.
They'll turn on you.
Yeah.
Asian people living in France have started a hashtag on social media called I Am Not a Virus. And then all Asian people start posting about this, where I guess a woman who's like half Vietnamese says, I'm walking down the street and I hear two French guys go, better get out of the way. Here comes a girl from China.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
And their newspapers, I guess they got, like us, they've got some that are all over the spectrum. But several newspapers started going, the new yellow peril.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at that. That was the Daily Telegraph, British paper. China kids, stay home. Yeah.
Isn't it funny how that veneer of all this crap that's being shoveled drops away when things get real?
Yes, yes. And most of all of that sensitivity stuff is from here, not there. They go back to their old ways.
But they forced it on us.
Yes.
Because we're not cultured.
Yeah. Well, They like the veneer of culture.
Yeah. And that's all it is.
They're not.
The veneer.
Grab.
And you know what?
What?
They have great PR because if it was in Iran or North Korea or anywhere else, you would not be able to get it off the front page that riots are occurring around the effing clock.
Yeah.
For the better part of a year.
Yeah.
Things are burning. People are getting hurt.
Yeah.
But you don't hear much about it because it's France.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Paris is beautiful.
Yeah. If only we could adopt their policies right now that Macron is in the process of canceling so that they don't go into complete financial ruin.
Yeah, well, they've always been in, them and Italy, always in financial ruin. One day the
lira Italy's
was good,
another one.
Next day it's bad.
There was a cruise ship that had Chinese people aboard.
Yeah, no, they're keeping it out.
And the cruise ship pulls up to port in Italy, and the mayor of the town has his driver haul ass in his Fiat yelling out the window,
"Yes,
you don't come here. Are you crazy?"
Yeah, they're on the boat.
Yep.
Jeez.
That veneer.
Yep. Tell you, I'm going to tell you right now, different lands, different reactions to things. So many of us see
that's
the United
all it takes.
States and don't know what goes on over there.
That's all it takes.
Yep.
Throw one little variable into it.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, racism ain't so bad.
Well, when, yeah, over there.
Yep.
They've always been. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. I will say it, and then I don't want to talk about it.
You'll say it, but you don't want to talk about it.
When I was about 4 or 5 years ago, when I was in London, let me tell you something. The old Londoners
are just as unhappy about it as we are.
They are. They're mean.
Well, they got to be.
Yep.
They're overrun.
There was a time, believe it or not.
I can't believe they were honestly surprised that Brexit passed.
They shouldn't be. There was a time, Super Bowl Sunday, when local radio stations could buy time during the Super Bowl. I want to say back 25 years ago, K-Rock would buy advertising time on TV during the Super Bowl. You know, a 30-second local spot? Here's what it is. Here's what it's like today.
And now, here's this radio station's Super Bowl commercial.
If you want the best music and the best morning show, be sure to tune in to...
We're sorry. The 30-second commercial you want to air during the Super Bowl requires a $5.6 million deposit. Stop talking now and insert $5.6 million. Pay up or shut up. Please try again.
Nobody can afford a Super Bowl ad. Nobody. It's outrageous. We might have been in the pregame.
I don't know. Is that worth it? Are people really paying attention?
That topic of conversation has come up year after year.
I think the only ones that are effective are the companies, like your beer companies that have unlimited budgets and they can blanket the whole game with a narrative.
Yep.
One spot
doesn't do it.
Mm-mm.
I thought you should know this.
Did you hear the Mr. Peanut thing got yanked because of Kobe?
That's what people think, that it got yanked because of Kobe. The promotion for it. I'm told the commercial's going to run. It was just all the hype and the TV commercials and the news stories leading up to it were all yanked because of the Kobe incident. Too sensitive. But that it should run during the Super Bowl. Should.
Can I ask just one question regarding this?
What?
How is that in any way, shape, or form related to Kobe?
It's not.
There's no helicopter involved. Mr. Peanut is not a basketball player.
That has been up for discussion as well. It's not. He's 69 years old today, and Haney wishes he could be friends with him. Phil Collins, happy birthday.
I think
birthday.
It would only be natural.
Happy
you
birthday.
Mean I don't care anymore.
See?
I don't care no more.
We should be best friends. I'd hang out in the train room. Earth, Wind, and Phil.
I'm going to tell you something. Phil Collins started out as Genesis' drummer. And part of the thing with him in the group, as you heard there, he always wanted his drums emphasized. Started out as the drummer for Genesis. When Peter Gabriel left to go solo, they auditioned for a new lead singer. In rehearsals, Phil Collins' singing sounded so good, they chose him. He then went on to his own solo career, produced himself and other artists. But that was the thing when he was in Genesis. He was the drummer and part of producing and putting it all together. He wanted the emphasis on those drums.
You know when I think he was at his absolute best? And I bet he'd agree with me. As far as being top of his game and being happy, Genesis was huge. His solo stuff was arguably even bigger. And then it seemed to just come to an end right around the end of the 80s.
Yeah.
And at that point, what did he do? He wasn't going to bust his ass to try to come up with more material or get back with Genesis. He said, you know what? I'm going to join Eric Clapton's band. And Clapton has never, ever sounded better than when he had Phil Collins on drums. The two of them
emphasizes those drums.
The two of them had so much fun. And here's an example. You know, one of Clapton's greatest is Layla.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can hear that guitar riff in your head. You know that? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Phil Collins would double that on the drums. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah,
it was
him.
Great.
We talked about it in Stan's local beat. A daycare worker on Sanibel got fired after they used permanent marker to write on the little kid's stomach, telling their parents they needed to buy more diapers. The daycare originally sent a normal note home, but the mom claimed she didn't see it. She said they did the same thing last year. They didn't say anything. Here's where they're describing. We actually talked to them. He can't get the marker off the kid.
I noticed permanent marker from the top of his torso to past where his diaper goes. I'm out of diapers. Please read my reports. And there was underlining on it, and it was big. It was his whole torso. I was mortified that this had happened to my son.
She gave Milo two baths, wiped him down in excess with baby wipes, and it's still on his skin right now.
Yeah. Sharpies last a long time.
Yeah, they're what they call a permanent marker.
Yeah. Dateline, Wisconsin, a man who once called 911 for help in dealing with a snoring woman in his bed has now been arrested for dialing police dispatchers and asking if they wanted to fool around or
what?
Spend some quality time together.
Are you, what?
Now, the latest 911 call from this guy hasn't been released, but they do have his first 911 call where he was talking about the woman snoring next to him. He likes to call 911, and last time he called, he wants a date. This is what got it started, though.
It's like I'm trying to wake her up, and she won't wake up.
And she's snoring like a train?
Snoring like a train.
Did you bring her home with you?
Well, I assume so.
Okay, have you both been drinking tonight?
Well, I have.
Thank you, buddy.
Does he not understand that that's not what 911 is
for? He don't care. He don't care. Yeah, last, They haven't released yet. The other one, he's asking him out for a date.
Look, I'm not saying the guy was wrong to pick up the phone with his concerns. But, sir, that is what radio request lines are for.
Precisely.
Can you even imagine how many calls you've had like that working in radio?
Countless. We are here at K-Rock.
If I felt really sorry for somebody, I'd just leave the phone off the hook and let them talk.
We here at K-Rock are giving away Stone Temple Pilot Nickelback tickets. It's their Nickelback's new tour.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nickelback recently did an interview. Here's their drummer, Daniel Adair, suggesting the band's upcoming summer tour should make them cool again. And then another bandmate, Ryan Peaks, had a reply to that as well. So
they know.
This is supposed
they
to.
They are
Nickelback
aware.
Nickelback wants to be cool again.
Yeah, they're aware of it.
Our original fans' kids are now coming to the shows. They're raised on us. That's the legacy part of this. And hopefully it'll transcend to we're a cool band again.
Don't hold your breath.
That's the band saying it.
You know, I'm not saying that Nickelback haters don't have a point. I'm not saying that. I just wonder why is it all being taken out on that one band?
I don't know. I don't think there's that horrible.
There's plenty of blame to go around.
Yeah. You never know what you own and if it's worth anything. Antiques Roadshow was talking to a regular guy, Air Force veteran. And he said back years ago when he was in the Air Force, he bought a Paul Newman model Rolex for $349.
How many years ago?
A while back.
So $349 still wouldn't be cheap.
It's not, but it's still cheap for a Rolex. But $349.
Well, I mean, depending on what year he bought it.
Well, let's find out, because he took it to the Antiques Roadshow. Is it worth anything?
I brought in a Rolex watch that I had purchased while I was in the military, and I never used it. I just kept it. After I got out of the service, just put this one into a safety deposit box.
A watch like this at auction is worth about $400,000. You okay? Don't fall. I'm not done yet. Your watch, $500,000 to $700,000.
Unbelievable.
And in this condition, I don't think there's a better one in the world. One of the greatest watches to ever see on Antiques Roadshow. And thank you very much for your service.
There you go. He paid $349. I don't care what year he bought it in. For that thing to be $700,000, close to $750,000.
See, I don't
good
understand
investment.
That. I mean, I look at it, and
it's like a watch.
It's a very nice watch, but that kind of money, I don't
very
understand.
Very few are made. Now, I'm not saying this one in particular, but it looks
so
like...
So it's the idea that you got something nobody else has got.
Not necessarily. The added fact that it was a Paul Newman model, but they're handmade.
I don't need
18 karat gold, white gold or yellow gold.
I just don't require an exceptional timepiece. I don't.
Well,
$700,000.
Yeah. Well, nobody will buy that.
What do you think you'll get for it?
Here's what somebody told me about a Rolex watch. And there's a lot of fake ones out there. But always remember this. It doesn't matter if you're in the United States, if you're in Europe, South America, China. The name Rolex is a universally recognized name. And no matter where you
why is it Oyster?
Oyster Perpetual.
What does that mean?
That's the brand of watch that it is. It's got an oyster color to the face, and there's what he paid for it.
$345.95.
Perpetual means it doesn't tick. It just sweeps. And it's worth a lot no matter where you go. You can be flat busted broke and be in the Soviet Union and you'll get money. Because it's a Rolex.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, speaking of the Soviet Union, Russia really got screwed because of the flu.
We'll be back.
They were going to have really cheap Big Macs, but then
Stan
they...
Stan and
Haney. The 30th
96. 96 K-Rock is where we've been for years. It's not a bad place to be. Besides, we've been told we can check out anytime we like. And they said something else, but I forget what it was. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney. Thursday edition, we'll have Stan's local beat here for you in just a second. From the Absolute Law text line, we were talking about that Rolex watch. Captain Dennis from LaBelle said the watch you guys are talking about is a Rolex Daytona. There were only a few made and only so many left in the world. It makes it a very rare watch, and apparently that watch was still in the box, unused.
Yeah, he said he never used it.
In perfect condition. Keep in mind, I think you guys did a news story on it, that you mentioned a woman found a watch in a sofa in Canada. Same kind of watch. She got $250,000 for it.
I just don't understand how a watch is worth
precision,
that much.
Well, two things. The Rolex name right off the bat.
And I understand the
Secondly,
rarity, but still, it's a watch.
It's made by hand.
But then again, I feel the same way about gold. I mean, what makes that so valuable?
I'll tell you what makes it valuable.
I understand, you know, industrial applications, but it's mainly jewelry that makes it valuable.
And you don't know the true value of gold until you put it in this perspective. You know, gold, that's not our monetary currency that we use. We use the dollar. Around the country, they use the euro or the
yeah, and we all know that fiat currencies always end well.
Let's go back to 1865, the gold rush, and Cowboy Haney goes into the clothing store with a $1 gold piece and says, "Give me the best suit you got," in 1865. Cowboy Haney, Panhandler Haney, and he's got a dollar gold piece. That tailor in there would give you, for that dollar gold piece, the best suit he had in the shop. Let's go to Haney 2020, Mr. Sophisticated 21st Century Mark Haney.
That's me.
Has that same $1 gold piece. And he walks into the shop and he tells the tailor, "Give me the best suit you got." And he can get that exact same suit, the most expensive one he's got, for that same $1 piece of gold.
Just going to give you a fair warning.
What?
And this is from Cowboy 1865,
yeah.
Haney.
Yeah.
You can call me anything you want.
Yeah.
And I won't bat an eye because I'm a cool customer. Unless you call me a sidewinder.
I didn't call you a sidewinder.
You thought it.
You a bounty hunter?
Just don't call me a sidewinder.
You a bounty hunter?
Just don't call me a sidewinder.
You won't play along, will you?
No.
Sidewinder. What's a sidewinder? Like a snake?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, snake in the grass.
What did you say?
Sidewinder.
Now, see, I'm now 21st century Haney. Cowboy Haney would have drawn on you right then and called you yellow.
There's a sidewinder. It's a rattler. Local beat.
You hammered down, knocked kneed, sawed off.
Local beat. You ever notice that, though, in every Western, the one that handles all the stuff out in the wagon train?
Yeah.
His name's Cookie.
Yep. You got all the pots and pans.
Yeah. What you got cooking, Cookie?
Chili.
Yep. Or beans.
Stew.
Yeah. All right, local beat.
If we can find some water and we can kill something, we got a stew.
Yep. Dateline. I'm going to tell you right now, this is ridiculous. Every day I don't have a problem finding a violent...
What's that, Cookie?
...story.
Cookie just said, them coolies over there working on the railroad are eating bats.
Watch out. Corona. I can find a story in Cape Coral, Lehigh Acres,
and Fort Myers,
any day of the week. It's where we call home. Dateline Cape Coral. Lyft driver pulls gun in self-defense after Cape Coral man pulls knife.
All right. Well, I mean, why don't we just play rock, paper, scissors instead?
Here's the thing. Lyft driver, Uber, Lyft, stands opinion. There has not been another better mode of transportation for people that might be drinking, boozing, don't have a license, than ride sharing. It has saved me many a night where I did not want to go out because I didn't want to drive. I remember three of us, a group of my friends, they had the fights down in downtown Fort Myers. I knew I was going to stay there. I was going to drink. I was going to have a good time. Took an Uber. There and back. Didn't have to worry about it. Had a great time. Right there, all on your phone.
Did you make an ass of yourself on the return trip, getting all chatty?
I did.
But I guess they're used to it.
So then you get somebody that's abusing this. Dateline Cape Coral.
That's the thing about it. As convenient as it is, there's a lot of what-ifs involved.
This is
one of them.
Well, this is the passenger.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean.
You know, driving, that's not an easy job. Especially when it's your own car.
You need to have the ability to have a high level of situational awareness.
When a Cape Coral man pulled a knife on a rideshare driver on Tuesday morning, the victim, the Lyft driver, retrieved his firearm in self-defense and forced the subject out of his car. The suspect, 28-year-old Adam Mormon, now faces a charge of aggravated assault. While the Lyft driver was driving around at 1:10 a.m., the passenger retrieved a small black knife and began dictating to the driver where to go.
I think they'll take you where you want to go. You don't have to threaten them, I don't think. How that works, is it?
No. According to the Cape Coral Police Department, at the intersection of Chiquita Boulevard and El Dorado Parkway, Mormon banged the dashboard with the knife while waving it in a threatening manner. The driver told Mormon to exit the vehicle because he was in fear for his life. When Mormon did not listen, the Lyft driver pulled out a firearm and told Mormon again to exit the vehicle. He did. And then fled the scene. Now here's the catch. It's against Lyft policy to have any kind of weapon with the consequences of being banned from the company.
Come on.
People afterwards were interviewed by the local TV news and said they didn't want to see that driver face any charges or any kind of consequences from the Lyft company. Don't fire him. He was there to protect himself. And if he didn't have that weapon with him, who knows what would have happened? Police detained.
Well, he'd be an unarmed man against someone
correct.
With a knife.
Police detained Mormon, who was found with a black pocket knife in his jeans. The victim later identified the detained suspect for officers with the request, "I wish to press charges on him." Mormon is now in the Lee County Jail with a trial date set for February 10th. But the question now remains, the Lyft driver was in violation of Lyft's rules, no weapons in the car. I'm sorry. If I'm driving around at 1:10 a.m. in my own automobile, and you don't know who's getting in the back of your car, I want to have something to protect myself.
And you know what? The situation that he was in, I don't care about their company policy. What could have happened, he wouldn't be worried about the company policy.
Correct.
Anyway. But the fact of the matter is, there are so many responsible gun owners and people that do the concealed carry. If that guy never pulled out the knife and was minding his own business, or even if he was just a mouthy drunk, if he didn't have the knife, you know, and act the way that he did, no one would have ever seen that firearm. Mm-hmm. And that's true of most responsible yep. gun owners. And when you've got a responsible gun owner that presents the weapon, the only time you do that is when you're prepared to use it.
Yep. Yeah, I'm kind of glad for him that he had the weapon.
Well, absolutely. And I think he handled it responsibly.
Yep. Let me tell you something. The first time he said, "Get out of my car," Mormon didn't. He got his weapon. He did.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no law about being stupid and mouthy in the back of a Lyft. But when you bring threats and violence into the equation, yep. that changes the game.
When we come back, a chance for you to win. We're going to play Stan's Three Strikes, a lot like the Family Feud, but not exactly.
Ah, I see.
We've got the top 10 answers to the category. We'll play when we come back. Somebody's going to win a nice prize. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
A soothing waterfall of character flaws, coupled with the bitter taste of harsh judgment. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, Thursday afternoon. About 23 minutes from the 4 o'clock safe word could get you a thou. Question of the week in about 1 hour. We're going to give you a chance to win here in just a second with Stan's Three Strikes. I'll go over the rules momentarily. But what if I told you that if you want to trade your car in, you can get the manufacturer's price that you paid for that car, and then once you got your new car, drive that around for 2, 3, 4 years and get the MSRP on that car when you go to trade it in?
I would say you, sir, are delusional. No one does that.
Naples Nissan does. We've been telling you that if you have a Toyota, Honda, Nissan, Hyundai, Kia, Dodge, Chevy, Ford, less than 5 years old, and under 60,000 miles, Aaron Walker and the gang down at Naples Nissan will give you the full base MSRP that you paid for that car.
Okay. I've been led to believe that MSRP means manufacturer suggested retail price.
That
is that
correct.
What you're talking
yes.
about?
Yes. Now, that's fantastic. Aaron's been doing that down there at Naples Nissan for a while. But then you get into the new Nissan, and you drive that for 2, 3, 4 years, and it's under 60,000 miles. He'll do it again for you.
Stan, I'm not great at math, but it sounds to me it's almost like he's giving you a car.
Yeah, pretty much so. And as they have told us, why on earth would you shop anywhere else? Plus, they have over 500 Nissan models to choose from. And you can get full offer details at NaplesNissan.com or just go right down to the dealership and tell them, hey, I got a Dodge. It's under 60,000. It's under 5 years old. Let's do the manufactured retail price that I paid on the thing and then get me into a Nissan.
Is there sorcery involved?
I don't know, but it's one of the best deals I've ever seen in my life. Naples Nissan. Tell them Stan and Haney sent you. It is a great deal, by the way.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's almost crazy talk, but that's what it is. Manufactured price that you paid for. They'll take care of it. All right, let's get to the winning.
Because the winning is just beginning.
We're gonna play.
It's super summer fun.
Yeah, sure is. We're gonna play. We're going to play Stan's Three Strikes. Here's how this is going to go.
Sometimes you've been in the radio business so long, you just go on to autopilot, and it seemed like winning is just beginning should be followed by super summer fun.
It sounds good. This is played.
You found the fun spot on the dial.
Ba-ba-da-bow. This played like kind of like the Family Feud. I'm going to give you the category.
And you can only play it here on the flame-throwing.
I'm going to give you a category. 10 answers on the board. Your job is to reveal all the answers. And you got 3 strikes to do it. I'll get the first caller. Fresh 10 answers on the board. 3 strikes to do it. They get all of them. They've swept the board. They win. If they strike out and there's maybe 5 or 6 things left on there, the next caller can steal. They'll get 3 strikes and just name off the rest of them. And so on down the line. If they strike out, we go to the third caller. There might be 2 answers left.
Well, wouldn't the smart thing to do would be to not call in and wait for somebody else to...
I don't think so, because the more answers that are revealed, the harder it gets.
Oh.
And yeah, there might be 2 answers left, but you're going to strike out fast. Why not get on a roll and maybe reveal all of them? If you are the person, without striking out, to reveal the 10th and final thing on the board, you will get a pair of tickets to go see Disturbed, Stained, and Bad Wolves for the 20th anniversary The Sickness Tour, July 24th in West Palm Beach. Those are the tickets up for grabs with Stan's 3 Strikes. I'll give you the categories here in just a second. If you answer correctly, you'll hear this. If you answer correctly, you'll hear the if you're wrong, you're going to get a strike. And if you strike out, you'll hear this. And then we'll move on to another caller. You got 3 chances to get everything that's on the board. Here's the category. Top things that bug us while we're trying to watch TV. You're at your home. You might be on your Netflix streaming something. You might be on broadcast TV. You might be watching a movie. And you don't want to be bothered. You don't want to be annoyed. I have the top 10 things that bug us the most when we're trying to watch television. Top 10 answers on the board. I've released the phones. This is for Disturbed tickets in West Palm. 3 strikes to get these answers. If I detect at any time that you might have the key to the list, you are eliminated. Or if you're honest, we'll give you something else. 277-9600. Top 10 things that bother us, that really bug us, while we're trying to watch our programs. Ahoy, who's this? Who? Ahoy.
Hello.
Yep. Wow, look at this. Hello. Watch this. That is piece
David.
Of yep. Ahoy.
Hi, ahoy, this is Dave.
Dave, how are you? You okay? Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you fine.
All right, brother. Top 10 answers on the board. You've got 3 strikes to get them all.
Right.
Things that bug us while we're watching TV.
I have to say, too many commercials.
Too many. Now, I'm gonna save you from yourself right now. We're not talking about what's on the TV. You know that you're going to get commercials if you're watching broadcast TV. I'm talking about things around you. Things are around you. Things that are being done while you're trying to watch a television program. I'll let you
Somebody talking while I'm watching TV.
Number one answer. Number one, talking during the show. Yep, there's 9 more of them. You got all of your strikes. By the way, you know what? I'm going to correct. I was wrong. You also said too many commercials. It's there too. I'm going to give it to you. My bad on that. I didn't see it. You're ahead of the game. You're sharper at this than I am. All right.
People spoiling a movie, trying to
number 4. All right. Now let me ask you this: what's your first name?
David.
David, do you have the list?
No, I do not.
Okay. Very good. Continue.
Let's say, distractions behind people being loud, partying.
Let's see. So people partying. So they're being too loud.
Right.
People in the room are being too loud.
Right.
All right. Let me see. People in the room being
like your mom or your sister over there talking or yapping.
We already got talking during the shows. So that's a strike.
Okay.
Now, being loud might help you, but continue. I'm not going to give you any hints, but you're on the still on the right track.
I'll be some playing guitar or music.
Music in the background? Is that what you're saying? Music in the background?
Yeah.
Strike 2.
Ah, shoot.
you're doing great.
But you're kind of leading him down a primrose path.
How do you figure?
Is that what you're saying?
No, go ahead. I don't mention that until I say it. Okay, what do you think? You got one more strike left. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 left. You're doing great.
What was the category again?
Category is things that bug us while we're trying to watch TV. And this is not the TV itself. It's things that are going on. It might be
my kids are sitting there crunching on their food and being...
Hold on. Let me see. Crunching on food. Because that sounds like it's a good... You know what? You're going to strike out, but the fact of the matter is, it was below the top 10 on that. People did mention that, did not make the top 10.
Well, that's cold comfort, isn't it?
It did. Below the list, loud eating was there, but he knew how the game was to be played. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 left. 7 answers left.
Because he got a twofer.
Yeah, he did. I wasn't even looking at it. He was absolutely right. Too many commercials. Top things that bug us while we're watching TV. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey.
Boy. Ahoy, who's this?
It's Rob.
Hey, Rob, how are you?
I'm good.
All right, buddy. We've got talking during a show, too many commercials on the show. Let's see what else we... What? Go ahead. Spoilers, someone who's already seen it. What? Go ahead.
Okay, I'm saying my wife doing the dishes.
Okay, I can't hear
his wife doing the dishes.
His wife doing the dishes. Strike one.
Bang. Oh, Jesus. Okay. My dog's
got to
go out.
You need me to translate for you?
Dog has to go out.
Okay, you got that one.
Yeah, I did get that one.
I'm sorry, I took it off.
What would you do? What would you have to do if the dog has to go out? You would have to do what to your program?
I'd have pause it.
There we go. Yes, all right. Don't say anymore. Person you're watching with needs to pause it because they got to go do something. I'm trying to help you here. All right. You've got one strike. You got one off the board. You got two more strikes to go. What else do you think?
Somebody comes to the door.
Somebody
comes over.
Got a phone call. No, strike two. Well, hold on. You got strike two, but go ahead and say what you just said, because it was not your first answer. Go ahead.
I got a phone call.
Number three on the board.
Boom, got two.
All right. Now you got
hot
two. You got two strikes. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things left on the board. Now, I'm also trying to tell you, it's not just broadcast TV. A lot of people like to watch Netflix or watch a DVD or something along those lines, some kind of service that they have that might not be regular TV. That's also included in this.
When I get an interruption of service.
Want to translate for me on that?
Interruption of service.
Interruption of service? Is that what you said?
Yes, when it cuts out.
When it cuts out, I'm going to give it to you.
I don't know why I can understand this guy.
I can't believe you can understand him. It cuts out. It's buffering.
It's all right. I'm here for you, bud.
Yeah, he's translating. Go ahead now. You got one strike left. You're getting somewhere here. Go.
Oh, one more. Oh, man.
No, you got four more you got to get. But one more wrong answer, you strike out.
Oh, no, I don't want to strike out.
Who does? Whether it's at a ball game, a date, or this show, who wants to strike out?
Bowling.
Bowling. Yeah, I'd like to get a turkey in bowling. Three strikes.
Let's see.
Three seconds. Too much.
When the dinner bell goes off.
Let me see if I can find some way to give you something here.
You know, when Cookie rings the dinner bell.
No, strike three.
He did good.
He did. The callers have been doing really well. Here's what we have. These are off the board, so don't say them anymore. Talking during the show, too many commercials, getting a phone call in the middle of the show, spoilers from somebody who's already seen it. A person you're watching it with needs to hit pause because they got to go do something. Buffering when you're trying to watch a streaming show online and it's got that number that's 6%, 8%, and it's taken ever. And then the whole thing just says, sorry, try again later. Those are all off the board. There are four left. Here's the hint I'm going to tell you. I'm not talking about people being too loud in the room, but you might be watching along with somebody, your girlfriend, your wife, your kids, and they're all interested in it, or maybe not. Think of if you're trying to watch this show and you're with maybe one other person, and you'll get a few. 2779600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, how are you?
How are you guys doing?
Good. You got three strikes. Things that bug us while we're watching television.
Let's see. What usually happens here is the wife usually just falls asleep.
Stop. The person that you're watching it with falls asleep right in the middle of it.
Yep, and then they get mad if you finish it.
Yep, number nine on the board.
Nice.
All right, go ahead. Now, again, you're on the right track. Think about being there with your wife or whoever you're watching these things with, because you'll knock off a few of these.
Oh, yeah, no, it's always the wife. And go ahead. Yeah, it's usually, let's see here. She usually hates what I'm watching.
Number eight on the board. You don't have the list, do you?
No.
All right, good. Yeah, I appreciate that. You're being honest with me. I don't think you have a strike left. There are two left on the board. to go and wipe them off. You don't have any strikes. And I see Disturbed tickets just staring you right in the face.
All right. I like it.
All right. Go ahead.
You know, I'd say the whole dinner bell thing, but, you know, that's kind of.
No. Two things are basically what someone other this thing is making. Someone other than yourself is doing something with the television, and you don't necessarily like it.
Trying to change channels?
Yeah, that one is number five on the board.
Oh, that was easy.
Hold on a second. What's your first name?
Chuck.
Chuck, hold on a second. I got to tell the person to get off this line. Hey, yo, breaker, get off the line. I'm doing a show. You're bothering me. This is a proprietary line.
No, it's not.
I know, but it's... What did you just tell me?
Yeah, what's your 20 there? Come back
and play. got a ratchet jaw.
Yeah, got a ratchet jaw over there, and I apologize for that. All right, here it goes, Chuck. Everybody who's played this game today has played it remarkably well. There is one thing left on the list, and I'm going to help you out with this, tell you what made it below the top 10 were loud eating, too much texting, and someone just not paying any attention, and then goes and complains they don't understand the plot. These were all below the line.
That was my next one, was that one.
All right, so I saved you from getting a strike. You got one left. You got three strikes to do it.
One left.
Now, if someone's changing the channel, what might they also be doing while you're trying to watch the program?
Oh, what they would do?
I don't want to have to strike you.
Yeah, what would they be doing?
They're doing something to the television. You know how, like you said, they're changing the channel and I'm trying to watch something. Well, they're doing something else as well.
Let's say wife gets a phone call and has to turn the volume down or something. I don't know.
Yep, there it is. You did it.
No way.
Yeah, you got it. Someone
around the old some, ball and chain.
Yep, something that you're enjoying watching. The volume is either turned up too high or the volume is turned down too low by the other person, and you can't even hear what's going on the program. You are absolutely correct.
Of course, I always got the volume too high.
Nice job. You are our winner. You got yourself a pair of tickets to go see Disturbed, Stained, and Bad Wolves, the 20th anniversary of the Sickness Tour. It's going to be in West Palm Beach, July 24th. I'm going to send you over to Rob, and he's going to hook you up.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Chuck. There you go, buddy. Hold on.
In my opinion.
Yes.
The worst of the bunch on that list is when you're watching the same friggin' show. And, you know, picture something like, say, Game of Thrones, where it goes on week to week.
Yeah.
And you don't have any knowledge the other person doesn't. You're watching the same thing, yet you're expected to explain to them.
I do that to my wife all the time.
Drives me nuts. It takes you completely out.
I know.
Of relaxing.
And then you can't concentrate.
Yep.
And I know I do it to her, and I apologize.
You ask her to explain what you're watching?
Well, we're watching him like I was watching.
I just lost a little bit of respect for you, sir.
We were watching you. And
you were watching me?
No, the show you. You got to watch that show. I went through two seasons binge watching it. But I'll say, Who? What's that guy? Is that guy going to go and try to kill her? I don't know, Stan. I'm watching at the same time. Here we go. Top things that bug us while we're watching TV. Survey.
I can't believe you do that to her.
I don't do it consciously. A recent survey found what the top 10 most annoying things that bug us while watching TV. Number 10. Whoever you're with likes the volume way too loud or way too low. Number 9, the person you're watching it with falls asleep right in the middle of it. Number 8, someone complaining about what you're watching. Number seven, if you're streaming and the buffering starts and it causes everything to shut down, that gets you mad. Number six, the person you're watching it with hits pause because they got to go do something. Number five, someone else is asking to change the channel. You watching this? You don't mind if I put on ESPN, do you?
No, sure, no problem.
Number four, spoilers from somebody who's already seen it. Ooh, watch what happens, because this is going to be...
Oh, you're not going to believe it.
You're not going to believe what happens next. Number three...
I'm not going to say anything. Just watch this guy.
Yeah. Number three, number three, getting a phone call in the middle of a show. Number two, too many commercials and people in the room talking while you're trying to watch. We're going to take a break. I would stick by your radio, because in seconds... the 4 o'clock safe word could get you a thou. We're Stan and Haney.
We're just like most of you. Financially devastated ex-husbands, unrepentantly proud fathers, and underappreciated employees. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. You have about 3 minutes left. 3 minutes. A full 3 minutes to get the 4 o'clock safe word in for a chance at the thou. The 4 o'clock safe word is Bill, B-I-L-L, B-I-L-L. Enter that safe word at 96krock.com on the K-Rock app, or text the safe word Bill to 45911. You got less than 3 minutes, about 2.5 minutes to get the safe word in. If not, you're going to have to wait until 6 o'clock, where Rob Show will have a brand new safe word for you.
Yep, we're all rooting for you.
We are rooting for you. I'm not going to tell you, but if you don't get the 4 o'clock word Bill in.
Bill?
I see what Rob's 6 o'clock word is. I just think ours is a better word, my opinion. Because I see what his is at 6.
I'm only a Bill sitting here on Capitol Hill.
We're going to get you updated on traffic, news headlines, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. And in less than a half hour, our question of the week. We'll pose the question. You answer it because you have the right answer. And it's going to trigger something in your brain, a little story that you'll want to tell us. That's in less than 30. Let's get you updated. A little busy to start the afternoon off. We'll start in North Fort Myers. Got a crash. West Mariana Avenue. The 69 block of West Mariana. Hear what I'm saying?
That's funny.
North Fort Myers.
You think that's funny?
I'm not trying to be funny right now. I'm trying to give a traffic report. North Fort Myers crash. 15,000 block of North Cleveland Avenue, right by Merchants Crossing. Fort Myers, crash. Old Olga Road and Palm Beach Boulevard.
Is that anywhere near New Olga Road?
It might be, yes. Lehigh Acres, hit and run. Bell Boulevard North and Joel Boulevard, right by the Winn-Dixie. And finally, a hit and run. Jeez. Bonita Springs, South Tamiami Trail and Bonita Beach Road, southwest, right by the Papa John's. Coming up.
Boy, Papa John got screwed over, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. If you haven't realized that, over the last 25 years, he's driven many an anchor person out of town. I've seen it with my own eyes. And he's going to give you today's headlines. The headlines of record.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know. You know what's right around the corner?
What is right around the corner?
Valentine's.
Oh, I know. You know, you guys are pronouncing it wrong. Yeah? Valentine's Day. Valentine's.
See, that's always stuck in my head because, you know, when everybody in the class got one, half of them would say, Happy Valentine's.
Yeah, Valentine's Day.
And I've decided to let them win.
Yeah. Are you playing stuff from over on that machine over there? Because I don't know if it's making a sound over on this end. Oh, by the way, our celebrity photo of the day didn't get a chance to show it to you yesterday.
Is it Harvey Weinstein?
No. I can't put that one or Bill Cosby up. We got him, but it's not appropriate. Been a guest probably in this studio 4 or 5 times. This was, I think, like the second time he hung out with us. From Good Times, Jimmy J.J. Walker is there. And I don't know why, and I've talked to Marvin and the digital people. They have the hidden face, and then you go to the real picture, and it is so small, you can't even see it. What's the use of me putting the picture up if you can't see it? What is the use? Nice big picture, face covered up. Let's see who it is. And our beautiful people in the digital department put a thing there that you need a magnifying glass on your screen.
Well, maybe the next time he gets a promotion, that'll be a new feature.
Yep.
Pictures you can see.
Yep. Jesus, jumping.
What?
Nothing. Something about a pogo stick.
Yep.
Sorry about that, folks. You know, why do I put the effort? You know, I got a text from somebody yesterday. Why do you put up these celebrity photos of the day when we go to it and we can't even see them? They're so small.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
I'm sorry, but it frustrates me.
Well, of course
everybody
it does.
Everybody else's looks great. You go to other radio stations around here, God forbid something like that happen on the B.
Sucks harder than ever.
You got that right, Billy. Jeez. Ah. Let's laugh. 4 o'clock, Fluffer. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Hi.
You know, Stan, I don't want to pry when it comes to your marriage.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You've, for the most part, respected it. Crossed the line a couple of times, but other than that, I respect that.
When have I crossed the line?
I'm not getting into details.
When have I crossed the line?
I'm not getting into details about it.
When have I crossed the line even once?
You haven't, okay? You haven't.
You're lying. You wouldn't have said it.
But for the most part, you do respect that.
So I've crossed the line multiple times.
No, not multiple times. By the way, did you see somebody in Bonita Springs won the Powerball?
Yeah, don't try and distract.
Nothing, you're fine.
What was,
hear me complaining,
Stan,
about anything?
Was I aware when I crossed the line?
Oh, I know you do it on purpose.
I do it on purpose? Then how do I not know?
Yeah, you know.
I don't.
You know what? Sit back and reflect. Oh, she and I are going out to dinner tonight. You'll see her before we leave the radio station.
Oh, that's always nice.
Be nice to thank her for that champagne.
How many times did I thank her for the last one?
I don't remember.
Multiple.
I don't know.
Okay, multiple.
What you say to her, I don't know.
Evidently you do.
I don't know.
Then how did I cross the line?
Look, I can't go and pinpoint it right now, but I'll tell you what.
Okay.
When you do the next time, because I know there'll be a next time, I'll go toodaloo, toodaloo, kind of a signal.
Very disappointing.
What is?
You.
Sorry. I didn't want to go down that road.
Well, the only reason I brought it up
yes.
is because I don't know if you are allowed to frequent gentlemen's clubs.
Toodaloo, toodaloo, toodaloo.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
things to consider before going to a gentleman's club.
Top things to consider before going to a gentleman's club.
You know, before I pay the cover and the drink minimums and, you know, the tips for dances and all that.
Yeah.
Should I just skip all that and go straight to the part where I get a divorce? Will it be dark enough in there so the dancers won't notice I'm using Monopoly money?
Oh, they'll notice. You won't know what notice what they're using to cover the stretch marks.
Well, I feel guilty for keeping the dancers from the college studies that they're dancing
yeah,
to pay for.
That's what it is.
Why can't you ever do anything right?
Hey! Hey! Hey!
Am I allergic to glitter? That was one of the biggest things.
Glitter, because they like that glitter on their bodies. And, you know, we're there for work, and they start grinding on you, and then you come home with glitter.
Yeah, you may find this hard to believe, folks, but I used to be romantically involved with a crazy woman. I know, it's shocking. But honest to God, not only did I not cheat on her, the time that we were together, I never, ever went to a gentleman's club.
No, you didn't.
You know why? Because I knew the kettle of worms it would owe. It just wasn't worth it.
What's that, glitter on you?
Yes!
Where were you?
And it would be like this microscopic thing, and she goes, there it is.
Yep.
There it is.
Aha!
And God forbid there would be an inexplicable hair somewhere.
Yep. And it was just when he was hugging me.
Yeah. What's that on your shirt? Is that some whore's hair? Like, no. It's just not worth it because you'll freak out. If I can't afford to make it rain, would a light drizzle be acceptable?
No.
Stan, you're such an idiot!
Oh, you shut up!
Hey! It's impolite. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. Really want to send a message to your wife?
Yeah.
Go ahead and use the ATM there.
Funny?
Hey, well, pardon me, sir?
You think this is funny?
Yeah, I kind of think it's funny.
You really do?
I do.
You guys think you're funny?
Yeah, you please? I want to strangle you.
You really do?
Look, so help me. I'll get that woman to get on your ass, and you'll know.
Stan, you're such an idiot!
Stop calling me an idiot!
Isn't it a lot cheaper to stay home and just objectify women online?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cheaper just to listen to Warrant? And finally, the very top thing to consider before going to a gentleman's club.
Yes.
Is now really the best time to be around a lot of Asian businessmen? And that, my friends, is the first one.
Alba has left the building. Email.
Totally unaware that I've crossed any lines.
Oh, you're fine, all right? I've gotten over it. But I'll let you know. Toodaloo! This is from Scott.
Well, Mrs. Stan, you look lovely today.
That's okay.
Just beautiful.
All right. That's about enough that you have to say.
My goodness.
Toodaloo, toodaloo, toodaloo.
Ha, 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 ha.
If she's not listening now,
yeah.
When that happens in front of her, what do you suppose her reaction will
be? She'll know what it is. I'm surprised she hasn't texted me now. This is from Scott. He lives in Naples. And it's Thursday, and he's just now getting to Friday's show on the podcast. By the way, you can listen to the shows. They go way back. Keep going. Just a list.
You've got to be careful, though. It becomes a whirling vortex. It goes back decades.
Let me preface this by the fact that I have been drinking, and I am just now hearing last Friday's podcast. But Stan, come on. Even though the song Ordinary Man may not be the best Ozzy song ever, the man is 70 years old and is blessing us with new quality music. Did that song
That was a week ago.
I know. Did that song get defeated yet?
Yes, it lost on Tuesday night's cockfight.
Okay.
To who?
To be honest, they become a blur.
For Jackson and Jill?
Yeah, there's so many bands.
new music. Probably the last he has to give, Stan. Haney, please correct Stan's behavior. We know Stan doesn't always mean what he says, unless it's this his waterfall of character flaws statement. And doesn't want this dismissal of Ozzy's new song on his conscience, given that we know what we know of Ozzy's current condition. I love you guys, Rob included. Even though BBGI has regulated him to dipping his private parts in sauces for TikTok.
Okay.
It's right there.
The man made his own deal. He got very ballsy one night and said, I demand a living wage. And they said, you know what, Rob? That's perfectly reasonable. You're just going to have to work three jobs and dip your balls in soy sauce once in a while. And yeah, sure, we'll give you a living wage.
Our question of the week is next. We're Stan and Haney.
What?
Fred and Barney, Siegfried and Roy, Ralph and Norton, Stan and Haney. You gotta be shitting me. You can't pay me enough to say this Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Thursday afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Our question of the week in just a few seconds here. Give you a chance to participate. Also, in about 30 minutes, Mark Haney and the news. Before we do traffic, before we do our question of the week, I want to let you know what's going on here at K-Rock. We're teaming up with Tat Cemetery in Fort Myers and removing the X just in time for Valentine's.
You're saying that wrong.
No. Upload a photo of the tattoo of your ex that you want removed from Tat Cemetery. Upload that picture to 96krock.com, or you can do it on the K-Rock mobile app. K-Rock listeners can vote on the tattoos on the website, and the winner will be announced on the Valentine's Day edition of the Stan and Haney Show.
Boy, I was so relieved when I found out what that really was, because, sometimes I don't hear everything, and it's something about getting rid of your ex sponsored by a cemetery, and it sounded off.
Yeah, but it makes sense.
Well, when you tattoo, sure.
Upload.
If you miss the tattoo part of it.
Upload the photo of your ex tattoo and get all the details at 96krock.com or on the mobile app.
Bubba, you sure you want to get that done? I love her, man.
I really do. That's why I got it in the first place.
Got no doubt in my mind. She'd never do nothing to me.
No, she'll be back.
Once I had them, they always come back.
Our question of the week.
Oh, my God. Ponderous.
Got the phones on lockdown. I'll release the phones after we post you our question of the week. I'll go do some traffic, give you a chance to let it roll around in your head, and then you can call us at 277-9600.
But Bubba, she's living with another guy. Yeah, yeah. You just wait. It's called redemption.
Our question of the week.
Redemption.
Jeez.
I can't.
Listen carefully, because everybody's got something. Whether it be roadkill, big game, varmints, exotic fruit or vegetables, what's the strangest thing you have ever eaten? Completely out of the norm. It's not something that you'd normally find at your Publix grocery store, and you've eaten it. Maybe you've gone to another country. Maybe you like to do big game hunting. Maybe you're from the backwoods where you catch yourself a varmint. Maybe it's a strange fruit or vegetable that you've tried.
Maybe it's one of your dad's flunkies and you're going to go over for dinner and
precisely,
you're going to thank him.
Our question of the week. What's the strangest thing you've ever eaten? We'll take your calls after we take a look at traffic. Got a road watcher report. Bad accident just south of Sanibel Boulevard on US 41. And let's see, Fort Myers crash, South Tamiami Trail and Hickory Drive. And we got a hit and run Fort Myers, John Morris Road and McGregor Boulevard. And you are up to date. I don't know if you were like me, forced to eat something as a kid. Maybe you know somebody that grew up in the backwoods and they used to catch them varmints or roadkill. Done some big game hunting and had the privilege of eating something that nobody normally gets. Some exotic fruits or vegetables. What's the strangest thing you have ever eaten? 277-9600. Well, Haney pretty much tipped it off for me. I cannot verify the exact amounts of things, strange things that I've eaten, but roadkill is a logical answer to my question. Growing up, Ernie Niver, he used to go around in his pickup truck, and if he saw a fresh-killed raccoon, woodchuck,
whatever,
possum, he couldn't pass it up. And he would take it, throw it in the back of his pickup truck, clean it, cube it, and every Sunday would have his stew. And you didn't know what was in it. You just knew what was in the back of his pickup truck that week. From anything from a little chipmunk to some birds, he would go and clean them, cube them, put some celery and carrots and a little beef stock. And
he saw anything as meat.
Anything.
Anything, it's meat.
And I would go over there with my father, and they'd ladle out that stew. And I remember pleading with my old man, don't make me eat this.
Oh, come on, Rocky. It's good for you.
And it was just metallic-y and gamey. Delicious. Not. What's the strangest thing you've ever eaten? That somebody that you tried, that it was put before you?
I don't know. There's probably something, but I don't remember it off the top of my head. I did get us, both of us were pretty strung out on cobra venom for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if that counts.
But nothing that you thought out of the ordinary that you hadn't tried before? A fish? I remember I tried tripe one time, and I didn't know what that was.
No, I'd say as far as
things that I, there's nothing really exotic, but things that I normally wouldn't eat. I'd say most of it happened in one night at Paul Prudhomme's of stuff I'd never tried before.
Well,
but it was
great. That's a great example. Eating rabbit.
Yep.
I never had rabbit, especially when it's sitting there and you can actually see the leg of the rabbit. But it's all...
But Paul Prudhomme cooks it, it's great.
And it was delicious. Rob, strangest thing, odd thing, it might be roadkill, maybe big game, somebody went hunting, varmints, exotic fruits. You ever eat anything out of the ordinary?
Drinking. I've drank weird things.
What did you drink?
Well, tonight, I'm going to actually do it tonight. I'm going to drink breast milk. My girlfriend is breastfeeding her son.
No, Rob.
There's a study that says that Ugandan men cannot stop drinking women's breast milk. There's a shortage of breast milk in Uganda, so I'm going to try and see what all the craze is about. I've never had breast milk before. I just know that it's weird to see my girlfriend
produce it. I used to avoid that at all costs.
The old colostrum.
Yeah. Good luck. Let me know how that tastes.
Oh, sure. Thanks.
Now, see, maybe I take it for granted that it's not that exotic. I would think everybody's had gator tail.
Yeah. I mean, well, most people, they should have. You and I have had numerous different ways.
I guess some people would consider that exotic.
What's the strangest thing you've ever eaten? Roadkill, big game hunting, varmints, exotic fruits, vegetables. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, it's Mike from Cape Coral.
Mike, what's the strangest thing you've ever eaten?
Well, at the time it wasn't strange because we grew up on it, but, I mean, we had rabbit and squirrel, but mountain oysters.
What does a squirrel taste like?
Tastes like chicken. mean, But once a year we'd have mountain oysters when you go cutting the bulls.
Yeah, that's the old testicle stuff. It's like eating rubber bands.
Yeah, but it was normal for us, so it's no big deal. And watercress, my old man would go to creeks and he'd pull up watercress and then he'd pour hot bacon grease over it. It was really good, but I don't know if anybody else has ever eaten that.
Well, there's very few things that hot bacon grease can improve.
Yeah, that always makes right it better, there, buddy. Man. Appreciate the call. 277-9600. Maybe you went on a trip. Maybe you wanted to get a taste of the local culture. Maybe it was something. I'm not saying whether you liked it or you didn't like it, but you've eaten something that the average person hasn't. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Kevin.
Kevin, strangest thing you've ever eaten?
It was in 1985 in the service over in the Philippines, and they said it was monkey meat, so I had to take their word for it.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. What did it taste like?
I really can't remember what it tastes like, but it was kind of like chewy, it seemed to me.
And did they put a glaze or a gravy on it?
It seemed like it was deep fried almost. I can't remember, really.
Yeah, I think they have it. I appreciate the call. That's usually when you go and try something if you haven't before. You're over in another country. A lot of times if you're being served something over, like in Europe or something, don't ask.
That's for the best.
If it tastes good. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Jim from Northport.
Hey, Jim, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, sir.
Hot damn.
Hot damn.
What is strangest thing?
We were on vacation in Peru visiting our adopted son's family, and we had one of their delicacies. It's called cuy.
What is that?
Guinea pig.
Oh! Ugh. It tastes like chicken.
greasy chicken. They actually raise them on their porch to like 4 or 5 pounds, and they eat them.
Oh, my God. Is there a lot of meat in one guinea pig?
No, not really, but I had like 3 shots of anise liquor beforehand to get me to eat it. So.
Appreciate the call.
I saw people after that big cold snap we just had.
Yeah.
Where we were talking about the iguanas just freeze.
Yes.
That
I've known people that have done
people in Miami were picking the iguanas up off the street, cleaning them, and selling them meat.
My buddy Dave, the architect is listening to us in Atlanta right now.
Hello, Dave.
And he, being an architect, would go to China. And he said in China...
Hopefully not recently.
No. You are served chicken feet, fish eyes. The eyes are given to honored guests. I was also served a liquor made from yak's milk.
No, thank you.
No, thank you, no. I know people who will eat those iguanas and other lizards.
Yep, another one of those things tastes just like chicken.
Just like chicken.
Well, then why don't you just have chicken?
That's right. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, Jesse.
Jesse, what is the strangest thing you've ever eaten?
Well, two things, actually. I've been tried liver paste.
Oh, liver what?
Hashed liver paste.
Liver paste.
That sounds delicious.
That just sounds disgusting.
It wasn't bad.
And?
The guy smashed up liver and then he put it on crackers.
Okay, yeah.
And then a pig tongue. Straight from the pig.
And that was, did you enjoy that?
That was actually delicious.
All right. So. I've heard people, you know, we were talking yesterday, somebody had beef tongue. And that's sold. You'll see that in a grocery store. People love that stuff. Tried to explain when we had Julia Child on, when she was growing up in France during the war, they'd eat the comb of a chicken. The little red thing on the top of their heads.
Yeah, a rooster.
Yep. And the little chicken toes.
She had you going.
Yeah, she did.
She was laughing at you.
It was just disgusting. She said, well, she told the truth. You're in the war and you got food, you're eating it. I need a pound of fat back drunk. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Rob from San Carlos.
Rob, strangest thing you've ever eaten.
My dad used to love pig's feet, and my mom used to cook it for him when I was in Germany.
My old man used to love pig's feet. He used to get the big jars of pickled pig's feet.
Yeah,
and you can actually see the whole hoof right there in the jar. Sorry, I can't do it.
No, I can't do it now, but I ate it when I was a kid, and I was like, oh my God, it was just, I remember it being sticky, like ribs, you know, with the cartilage.
Yeah.
And, oh, gosh.
You know what they say, you can eat every part of the pig, though. I mean, pig's pig. The little
meat
between the little toes and
heads. Now, when I was a kid, and it was just me, mom, and dad, every time that we went to lunch, you know, at some diner or something, my dad always ordered liver and onions.
Oh, yeah. My wife loves that stuff. I can't get near it.
And it happens so many times, I'm a little kidding. Why is it, Dad, that you're always ordering liver and onions every time we go out to eat? And he smiles and he looks over at my mother and she goes, because I will not make that for him.
Nope.
That's the one thing I will not do.
And we've said it before. Why do a lot of people not care for liver? It's an organ.
It's a filter organ.
If you are eating a steak or something, that's a muscle versus eating an organ. Two different things. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, hot damn, ahoy, gentlemen.
Hot damn. What's your name?
Hey, it's Howard. Two quick stories. Back when Charlie came through, my neighbor lost a palm tree that was full of bats.
Full of bats?
Yeah, B-A-T-S. And he went on his pellet gun, and he shot all these bats in the grass. Well, at the time, I worked with a guy that was from Burma, which is now Myanmar. And when I told him about these bats, he looked at me and goes, do you have any bats? We eat them. I go, what? Yep, they eat the little tendon out of them.
Yeah, and, well, you see the result of that.
Yeah. Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Jake.
Jake, strangest thing you've ever eaten.
Actually, I had a coworker from Laos. He fed me horse and dog.
Oh, okay. Now, horse, a lot of people, there was a beef shortage in the 70s and people were eating horse. And a lot of times it goes for dog food.
That was a big rumor going around the school cafeteria.
Yeah, that it's horse meat. It's
horse meat.
I know it's squirmish and I don't even want to even think about, is there a distinct taste if you're eating dog?
No, it was like a teriyaki glaze or something on it.
Oh, I don't want to know where it got it from.
I don't want to know. And if you've got to go and put a glaze on something to kill the flavor of what that is, you don't need to be eating it. Haney and I both know. You get a piece of tough steak and stuff. You'll put steak sauce or something on it. But you get yourself a nice prime piece of meat. You don't want virtually anything on that. You want to taste the quality of that meat.
Well, you went from...
You don't need to camouflage something.
Thanks to a glaze, you went from hating corned beef to loving it.
Exactly. Absolutely. If you would like to answer our question of the week, please let me explain something to you. Don't text it because we won't see it. If you'd like to answer our question of the week, what's the strangest thing you've ever eaten? Email us. Ahoy@stanandhaney.com. The texts go right away if you want it to come right to us, and we'll be able to go and tell everybody on the air the strangest thing you've eaten. Email us, ahoy@stanandhaney.com. Mark Haney and the News is next.
Hey, Southwest Florida, you've stuck with us through thick and thin.
Feast and famine.
War and peace and everything in between. Don't think for a minute we don't appreciate it. No matter how we may come across, we love this damn job. Stan and Haney.
96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. A Thursday afternoon. Mark Haney in the News coming up here in just a second. We'll also get you updated on traffic for your drive home. 6 o'clock. It'll be Rob's show taking you through your evening, and he will have a 6 o'clock safe word for you. Could get you a thou. So be listening for his safe word at 6 o'clock. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. All right. Let's see. What do we got? One thing on the board, but it's a hit and run. And this is like the fourth hit and run I've seen in the last hour. Lehigh Acres, 3300 block of 12th Street Southwest, hit and run. We'll have one more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes.
I'll second you on that side.
Mark Haney and the News.
I'm very pleased. I haven't heard a toodaloo in a while, so
no,
I must be doing something.
No, you brought up my marriage.
Oh, is it strictly limited to that?
Yeah.
I thought it was just going to be a catch-all, that if you need me to stop.
Do you want me to have it be a catch-all?
I wouldn't mind it. I think it would make for better communication.
Sure. All right. It'll be a catch-all, not just, you know, crossing the line and asking questions about the marriage, but anything that I feel you're crossing over the line.
Okay.
Well, toodaloo.
Well, I've been meaning to tell you about what's going on in Russia.
Toodaloo, toodaloo, toodaloo.
What?
He's...
It just was
that's great, toodaloo. Mark Haney in the News.
It's just a human...
Toodaloo.
...interest.
Nope.
Story.
Toodaloo. Mark Haney and the News.
Okay, maybe we better not do that. Toodaloo.
See, you wanted it to be a catch-all. Now, if it was a catch-all, I'm toodalooing all day long.
It'd be pretty much on a loop.
Yep. Just keep it going.
I had no idea.
Toodaloo. Mark Haney. Rob, what is that you're showing me? What are they cooking in those pictures?
Iguanas.
Those were iguanas when people were ripping up the iguanas and eating them.
Yeah, tastes like chicken. Somebody out of, and I can't even begin to take a dent into the texts. And again, ahoy@stanandhaney.com if you want to tell us strangest thing you've ever eaten. But I did see one that was on there. Guy claimed he ate a soft shell, like, turtle that they got out of a pond. He said it tasted like gamey mud. I mean, I don't get it.
Stan, I totally get it when people are starving.
Yeah, oh, sure.
What I don't get is doing it by choice.
Well, there's always somebody. Hey, you got to try this. you don't have to eat the whole thing. Just try it. Let me know what you think.
Well, it's not very good.
And you're eating soft shell mud turtle.
Yeah, it's not very good. No? Why would I want that?
Jeez.
I can have a steak if I want to. Yeah. Why would I want to eat a mud turtle?
Soft shell.
Why would I want that when I can have a nice side of Angus beef?
Yep. Take that every time. Mark?
Why would I want something that tastes like chicken when I can get a chicken?
Mark Haney in the news, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
There was a time before cable, when the local anchorman reigned supreme, when people believed everything they heard. This was an age when only men were allowed to read the news. One anchor man was more man than the rest.
Southwest Florida's most respected anchor man.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words,
Mark Haney
was the balls.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, January 30th.
Double M, double X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know.
Okay.
You know, we've got the International Space Station up there over our heads.
Yeah, we do.
Everyone who is lucky enough to be selected to go up there, no matter what country you're from, all of them are required not just to learn, but become fluent, conversational, in both English and Russian.
Makes perfect sense.
So a little difficult when you're the Frenchie of the bunch. You've got to be fluent in your language and yeah. English and Russian.
And from what I have heard, I don't know, but because Russia has even a different alphabet. It's a very difficult language to learn because it is not similar to the Latin languages of Spanish and French and mm-hmm. English. It's totally different. And you got your the only way to get you into space is through one of the Russian rockets. And then you got Mission Control in English talking to you up there.
Sure.
You got to know them both.
And, you know, speaking of Russia, there's
toodaloo.
What does that have to do with your marriage?
You told me it was all encompassing.
No, I backed off that.
All right.
But did you hear the latest on the International Space Station?
What about it? It's always breaking down.
Well, they are going to retire it.
Yeah, which, it's only got so long it's going to be up there.
Which means they're going to let it burn up.
Yeah.
But before they do, which I guess it's planned obsolescence by the end of this decade.
Okay.
But while it's still up there, I guess this is not one of those things they're talking about. I guess this is really going to happen. They're going to add a tourist module with deluxe space accommodations,
yeah.
You know, deluxe for space.
Right.
and it's going to have like a cupola where one person will go down into this thing at the bottom that is nothing but windows, so you'll be there weightless, floating in space with a 360-degree view.
Yep.
And it's supposed to be able to accommodate a couple of people, and the plan is that they want to get it up there and working and the same standards as the space station as far as docking and all that.
Uh-huh.
And when the space station itself, they say, okay, we're done with the space station, the tourist part is going to separate and remain up there.
Oh, cool. For like a little weekend Valentine's Day getaway.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be perfectly reasonably priced.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how much somebody would pay to be in space, weightless, with a 360-degree view.
Yeah, oh, that is, geez. You know, Al Warden, Apollo 16.
Good friend of yours.
Apollo 16 astronaut, got a chance to meet him.
He was forced to have lunch with you, wasn't he?
Yep. He gave us a lecture. Everybody thinks, oh, we lift off, we go up to the space station, we go up into the rocket, and you're weightless. And at the space station right now, you can float around in there. It's not because there's zero gravity.
You're falling.
There's gravity all around you. And with the elliptical orbit that they have and the thrusters on the space station.
And that's why so many people get sick, because you're constantly feeling like you're falling.
You're falling. And
well, you are.
And he said that's for Earth orbit. He said for the Apollos that went to the moon. He said the engines going to the moon are two different things. You go and you have the Earth's gravity pulling you back, so it has to thrust more, and you're falling to Earth. And at a certain point, when you're on your way to the moon, you hit the equal point,
the Lagrange point
of gravity of the moon and gravity of the Earth. And then immediately once you cross that, you then begin falling to the moon. They adjust the thrusters of the rocket so that you're essentially still weightless and falling to the moon.
But the other way.
The other way. Your weightlessness in space, because gravity is all around you, is what you're falling. And the craft that you're in is compensating for that pull, but you, the body, are falling.
Yeah, it's amazing when you think about it. And when I was talking about the tourist module and saying luxury, I don't know if people realize what a luxury windows are in space.
I've seen Star Trek The Next Generation when they go in the observation deck. Pretty amazing.
Well, when they go on the observation deck, it's all fake 3D VR, and when they're on the bridge, it's a picture from a camera.
Oh, well, it looked good.
No, windows are a huge liability, and a lot of engineering goes into that.
First astronauts that went up, your Alan Shepard and all that, there was no windows in the Mercury spacecraft. He had to look out via a telescope, and it was when they landed. And they asked him, what do you want added to the craft? He said, for the next astronauts that go up, you got to put in a window. And so for the next few missions afterwards, they had a little like porthole.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And that was, they feared that the pressures would just shatter that.
And it takes virtually nothing. Because things moving through space are moving so fast, a speck of dirt could do it.
Yep, shatter it all up. Sorry about that.
So you can get that right out of your head. You're thinking about traveling to the moon and Mars. Oh, they might have pictures on screens, but I doubt you'll have any windows.
Yeah.
Something we have talked about, and our state has done the job already. The time zones. Mm-hmm. We want to stay on daylight savings time. The state of Florida has said, yes, that's what we want to do, but the gang up in Washington won't consider it.
Won't even look at it.
Well, how did we even get here? The four American time zones didn't exist.
Nope.
Until 1883.
I think most towns used whatever they wanted the time to be. I think that's it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Until then, any municipality was responsible for keeping their own time based on the position of the sun in the sky.
Yeah.
So why did it change in 1883?
Got no idea. Somebody said, hey, look, let's make it normal.
One reason only.
What?
The railroads made it necessary.
Makes perfect sense if you're going to be, taking a train somewhere. Got to be on time. Let's have a standardized set of times.
And I know that's a certain fetish of yours about the trains running on time.
Why do you even go toodaloo on that one?
Toodaloo?
Yeah! Why do I have a concern about the trains running on time?
You've just always been very complimentary about it.
What are you talking about?
When you went to Europe, you said you could tell the value of a country by the ones that the trains ran on time.
Oh, my God, I don't think I've ever said toodaloo.
You said when you were in Europe.
My buddy Dave's listening. He went to Europe with me. Beautiful trains.
But not every country had their trains running on time. And then you get to a filthy country like Italy. And then you got the two-faced Frenchies.
Can we take a break?
You just said those Fraulein's were beautiful.
They were.
Did Dave get one of those?
Dave was messing around with, his girl was in Italy.
I would love to talk to Dave sometime so he can tell his version of Mr. I don't know.
Oh, Derek?
Yes.
Where are we, Derek? I don't know.
In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
Hi, I'm Jason. You're in love and want to purchase a diamond. You have so many choices. You may be thinking, do I wait till I'm back in New York? Do I jump online and search the internet? Maybe I'll cruise over to the islands. Before buying a diamond, you owe it to yourself to give Todd and me an opportunity at the Diamond District.
Jason and I have the largest selection of GIA-certified diamonds in Southwest Florida. All are priced at or below the most competitive places in the world. We've partnered with De Beers in Canada and Africa. We've traveled to Israel, Antwerp, and India to select our diamonds. We want to offer you the best possible diamond buying experience.
Come see why more people choose the Diamond District than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News
on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill.
Rob, excuse me, Haney, I apologize.
Toodaloo.
Rob, who has been, we're in the middle of a newscast. Who the hell has been sitting on hold for about a half hour?
Tom from Melbourne?
No, it is not Tom from Melbourne.
What does he want?
Somebody is upset that you said that soft shell turtles were terrible tasting.
Oh, will you please? Hello, can I help you there? What's the problem about soft-shell turtles? What?
There's not a
I don't give an ass.
You, what?
I meant to say rat in there. Rat's ass. And all of a sudden, I don't give an ass.
See, you didn't even have time to do the whole thing.
Because I'm in the middle of a newscast here.
Thank you.
The guy's going to sit on effing hold for 30 minutes.
So that you can tell him you don't give an ass.
Yeah. Jeez. I'm losing my mind today.
Rob's rolling on the effing floor over that. I don't give an ass. You know.
Yeah.
We were talking about that Rolex earlier in the show.
That's right.
And the relative value of things, and what it comes down to is Okay, well, you can say it's worth 700 grand. Who's going to pay that?
Who's going to pay for it? That's right.
And
get him off the phone, Rob. I'm not talking to him. I'm not talking to him.
He could give an ass.
I could give a rat's ass. Just couldn't get the rat out.
Great example of that. There is a real estate developer in Los Angeles who is putting the finishing touches on a luxury home. Let me describe it to you.
All right.
It is a 100,000 square foot mansion.
It's a damn castle.
In Bel Air,
California.
Yeah, that's some pricey real estate.
Yeah. Nice golf course there, too.
It features 4 pools.
Jeez. Who uses it? Who can use that?
A bowling alley. A nightclub. You have your own nightclub.
Yep. Wonder what the clientele's like.
A 30-car garage.
For what?
A 45-seat IMAX theater. And, of course, you know, above all this, what's the most important? That'd be your master bedroom.
Yeah.
The master bedroom is bigger than anybody else's house. The master bedroom alone is 5,000 square feet. Oh, and you said, oh, it sounds like a castle?
Yeah.
Funny you say that. Another amenity comes with a moat.
Oh, right on.
Now, realizing it's in Bel Air, 100,000 square feet, 4 pools, bowling alley, nightclub, 30-car garage, IMAX theater. What would you guess that's priced at?
Oh, it's got to be $70 million.
The developer hopes that this home will be the most expensive home ever sold in the United States. And what they're asking for it?
$100 million?
We can't touch it. They're asking for this house, let's put it this way, to put it in perspective, you're looking at this house, you're an interested buyer, you're a billionaire. You'd need to take out a mortgage.
Ooh, it'd break you.
The developer has it reasonably priced at $500 million.
No way. Don't need that.
That would be by far the biggest. The current record holder for the biggest real estate deal ever in the United States.
Yes.
A Manhattan penthouse that sold for $238 million.
Well, I'm looking at it now where they're designing it.
Nice.
Yeah. Hope he likes to entertain. Other than that, it's a waste.
Oh, I think it'd be great to buy that and lock it up and never let anybody in.
Got to have upkeep.
Oh, yeah, but you don't see those people.
You don't see anybody in a house that big.
Yeah. Just everything magically gets cleaned. Mm. Everything just the way you want it.
Yeah, because they got a Roomba.
And if anybody runs into you, they apologize and call you sir.
Yeah.
And then they avert their eyes and disappear.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, finding someone with $500 million to spend on a house isn't easy. But there were 6 homes sold last year for more than $100
million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, you can dream about it while you're taking ketchup packets home from the restaurant.
Yep. We got to drop one.
Roger that.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, here's a 47-year-old gent named Benjamin Duddles in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Somehow, he's made it to the ripe old age of 47. Really is an amazing achievement for him. I know most people, they would have had to have, you know, done something with their life, but the fact that he's still breathing at 47 with his mentality really is astonishing. Last week, Benjamin thought it would be a great idea to call the police non-emergency line, because, see, that ain't 911. I know how to get around that. 4 times in 37 minutes to hit on the dispatchers.
Yeah, they like that.
Now, Benjamin knew what he was up against. Beggars can't be choosers. In one of the calls, he told a female dispatcher, quote, "It would be super duper cool if we could spend some quality time together." But again, Benjamin realizes beggars can't be choosers. The next time he called, she didn't want to deal with him.
No.
She figured if she put a male dispatcher on the phone, that would discourage him.
That'd slow him down?
No. He said to the male dispatcher, "Do you want to, you know, fool around?" When it continued and it became clear he didn't care who answered the phone, they finally sent someone to his apartment where they found this 47-year-old creature, intoxicated, drug paraphernalia all over the place. And he was arrested on misdemeanor drug charges and unlawful phone use. Now, you might think, come on, you're being a little rough on Ben. You know, just one bad night. No, his life has been one bad night. Back in 2013, before he learned his lesson to call the non-emergency line, he habitually called 911 because he wanted a female removed from his bed because she was snoring after they'd had the sex, but he wasn't sure how she got there. Hmm. You've been drinking? I have.
Look at him. Look at that idiot.
It's a miracle he's alive.
I know.
And that's the news for today, Thursday, January 30th.
Double M, double X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mucky Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news this afternoon. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're Stan and Haney.
All women are crazy, except you, darling. That's right. Just you. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. Rob Cho will be taking over at 6 o'clock. He'll have a 6 o'clock safe word. So he's finished job part number one, and then he goes to job part number two.
Where are you going to have to do stunts and whatnot?
Now, hold on a second. Let me ask him this real quick. What are you doing something about...
Let's promo it for him.
Promo the breast milk, what?
Yeah, I'll be drinking breast milk in the 7 o'clock
on.
Hour.
Come on! Is it going to be chilled? Is it going to be room temperature? Is it going to be warmed up?
It's been
up?
Sitting in the fridge here at work since I got here.
What's the premise?
There's
the justification
a breast
for this?
Milk shortage in Uganda. All the men are drinking the breast milk and not saving any for kids, so I want to find out...
What the hell's that all about?
That's exactly my point. I want to see what all the fuss is about.
And I don't know.
Isn't it with whatever the woman eats, if she eats a lot of, you know, garlicky food, that the milk is garlic, especially if she's a drinker, the alcohol will go right into the breast milk.
You could force her to make different flavors.
Yeah, everything, maybe put a little chocolate syrup in there, make a little chocolate milk, too.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, strawberry milk, make a little quick.
Yeah, like 32 ounces of chocolate syrup should do it.
Yep. Let's.
You just got to do it quick.
Yep. Let's get a final look at traffic. One thing on the board, and it, once again, this is, I guess, like the sixth one today. Hit and run, Lehigh Acres.
What's wrong with you? Come on, people.
Milwaukee Boulevard and Homestead Road South in Europe.
What do they figure? No harm, no foul?
Let's laugh.
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
You know what else is not stealing? Putting an extra bike lock on a stranger's bike. It's insane that bike locks are legal, that they're just available to the public. You have any idea the amount of power that you wield with your imagination in a bike lock? There's so many things. Like, you could just walk past the Baskin Robbins and be like, "You're closed." It is so arbitrary what we need permission to buy and what we don't. You have to show photo ID in a hobby shop to buy paint. Yet all of us here are just one Amazon click away from buying orange cones and making traffic go wherever we want.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow, 2 o'clock, Big Friday show. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. Oh, by the way, our celebrity photo of the day, didn't get a chance to show it to you yesterday.
Is it Harvey Weinstein?
No. I can't put that one or Bill Cosby up. We got him, but it's not appropriate. Been a guest probably in this studio 4 or 5 times. This was, I think, like the second time he hung out with us. From Good Times, Jimmy J.J. Walker is there. And I don't know why. And I've talked to Marvin and the digital people. They have the hidden face, and then you go to the real picture, and it is so small, you can't even see it. What's the use of me putting the picture up if you can't see it? What is the use? Nice big picture, face covered up. Let's see who it is. And our beautiful people in the digital department put a thing there that you need a magnifying glass on your screen.
Well, maybe the next time he gets a promotion, that'll be a new feature.
Yep.
Pictures you can see.
Yep. Jesus, jumping.
What?
Nothing. Something about a pogo stick.
Yep.
Sorry about that, folks. You know, why do I put the effort? You know, I got a text from somebody yesterday. Why do you put up these celebrity photos of the day when we go to it and we can't even see them? They're so small.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
I'm sorry, but it frustrates me.
Well, of course
everybody
it does.
Everybody else's looks great. You go to other radio stations around here, God forbid something like that happen on the B.
Sucks harder than ever.
You got that right, Billy. Jeez. Ah. Let's laugh. 4 o'clock, Fluffer. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Hi.
You know, Stan, I don't want to pry when it comes to your marriage.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You've, for the most part, respected it. Crossed the line a couple of times, but other than that, I respect that.
When have I crossed the line?
I'm not getting into details.
When have I crossed the line?
I'm not getting into details about it.
When have I crossed the line even once?
You haven't, okay? You haven't.
You're lying. You wouldn't but have said it.
But for the most part, you do respect that.
So I've crossed the line multiple times.
No, not multiple times. By the way, did you see somebody in Bonita Springs won the Powerball?
Yeah, don't try and distract.
Nothing, you're fine.
What was,
hear me complaining
Stan,
about anything?
Was I aware when I crossed the line?
Oh, I know you do it on purpose.
I do it on purpose? Then how do I not know?
Yeah, you know.
I don't.
You know what? Sit back and reflect. Oh, she and I are going out to dinner tonight. You'll see her before we leave the radio station.
Oh, that's always nice.
Be nice to thank her for that champagne.
How many times did I thank her for the last one?
I don't remember.
Multiple.
I don't know.
Okay, multiple.
What you say to her, I don't know.
Evidently you do.
I don't know.
Then when? How did I cross the line?
Look, I can't go and pinpoint it right now, but I'll tell you what.
Okay.
When you do the next time, because I know there'll be a next time, I'll go toodaloo, toodaloo, kind of a signal.
Very disappointing.
What is?
You.
Sorry. I didn't want to go down that road.
Totally unaware that I've crossed any lines.
Oh, you're fine, all right? I've gotten over it. But I'll let you know. Toodaloo! This is from Scott.
Well, Mrs. Stan, you look lovely today.
That's okay.
Just beautiful.
All right. That's about enough that you have to
My
say.
My goodness.
Toodaloo, toodaloo, toodaloo.
If she's not listening now,
yeah.
When that happens in front of her, what do you suppose her reaction will
be? She'll know what it is. I'm surprised she hasn't texted me now.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.